Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Chris Emery, who has been recommended to me as one of the more knowledgeable people that we have dealing with what really happened back there in 1995 at the bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. And people say, well, why are you worried about that? That's 10 years ago. Well, it's because we never got the truth about Oklahoma City. The bombing that we had, of course, the downing of TWA 800 the following year, and that we had the attack, on America in 2001. There was all sorts of information associated with the Oklahoma City bombing that should have made us well aware of the Islamic terrorist movement and its extension into Oklahoma City. And then, of course, so many other things that this whole thing was certainly manipulated. They were holding Islamic terrorist meetings in the United States. In Oklahoma City, Abdullah Azzam, who headed Al-Qaeda in 1988, was speaking in Oklahoma City. If you haven't seen the video, Jihad in America, we have it. Took me a long time to get it, make it available to you, but you need to watch that and understand that there's much more to this story. The FBI was shooting pictures of the Islamic terrorists in Oklahoma City in 1988, talking about how we had to have a jihad on America and blood was going to have to flow in our streets. Gee, I wonder why nobody ever talks about that. Chris Emery, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Dr. Stan.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been studying this? How did you really get interested in ready to put the amount of time you have into trying to get the facts?
I started looking into the Oklahoma City bombing case back in January of 2000, and I was just on the verge of actually starting my serious research on the TWA 800 case. The person that I was dating at the time was actually a flight attendant for TWA at the time, and she had expressed some concern as far as the entire case and the truth coming out on that. Long story short, my background with CBS as a part-time investigative journalist and behind-the-scenes editor brought me to the attention of which is now a good friend of mine by the name of Jerry Longspot, who lives in Fort Worth, Texas. He handed me his infamous video on the Oklahoma City bombing called The Cover-Up in Oklahoma and asked me to review it. And after about, an hour or so into the tape, I said, my God, this case is completely upside down. There's so much that needs to be researched. And I was hooked from that point on. And I met Charles Key with the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee. He was a former representative with the state of Oklahoma for 12 years. Met him in June of 2001, and we've pretty much surged ahead on this ever since then. So I'm considered a volunteer, kind of a latecomer, but really gotten very serious about looking into the case.
All right, fine. I think it's really so vitally important that people understand that there's much more to this story. Now, how could you cover it up? Well, you control the media. And anybody like Representative Charles Key, who is a member of the legislature there in Oklahoma, who dares to question what goes on, will be demonized and will be destroyed, because this is how they do it. And we have intelligence agencies in our country, and their effort is not to get the bad guys, it's to get the good guys and to destroy their professions, to destroy their lives. Freedom cannot exist when you have this sort of a situation. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Remember that absolute power kills, and absolute power kills absolutely, eventually, everyone. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, who is a volunteer researcher on the Oklahoma City bombing. And to a lot of our listeners, what happened in Oklahoma 10 years ago really isn't that important. Remember, the bombing was on April 19th, 1905, and well, the 10-year anniversary has come and gone. Though the people who were investigating had a meeting there in Oklahoma, but not a word in the controlled media. In fact, all the information that's known as far as the other people who were involved has been very carefully suppressed, and to this very day, why the Justice Department refuses to release the videos that were seized on the morning of April 15th because of an ongoing investigation. But if there's an ongoing investigation, that means there are other people involved. And why doesn't the government ever tell us that? Or are they using that as an excuse to prevent the American people from seeing that there was a John Doe 2 and maybe a 3 and 4 and others? And well, give us your take on what's going on, Chris.
It's still a continued cover-up. It's the what we've now termed the cover-up of the cover-up. And unfortunately, the Justice Department, the top decision-makers, do not want the truth on this case to come out. And before I continue on, Dr. Stan, I do want to qualify that Charles and myself and the committee, and there's a group of about 35 of us here in Oklahoma City, as well as several dozen around the country, that we want to acknowledge the very brave and very commendable conduct and of the local, the county, the state, and the federal law enforcement personnel, both male and female, that have come forward to help us out. And we want to acknowledge that those folks were very, very brave in doing so. Some preferred not to be identified. Some had no problem with being identified. So we're not painting a broad brush on this whole thing. Unfortunately, it's their top supervisors and the final decision makers on which way they could have moved on this case, that they're the ones that we need to be holding accountable, and we continue to hold them accountable. There are 5 points on our efforts, and like a lot of your listeners may wonder, well, why even care about this case? Well, there's been no closure, both on the financial, the mental, or the legal aspect of this case. There never has been up to this point. We want a direct and forthright and full apology from the United States Justice Department because they did have prior knowledge. They failed to share that prior knowledge, and they just flat-out patently lied about this case in several dozen instances. Number two, we want them to, first of all, actually, number two was apologize. Number one is acknowledge the fact that there was a problem. That's the first step in solving a problem, is acknowledging you have one in the first place. Number three is to pay full and correct restitution to the victims of this, victims, family members, and survivors.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, who's working with Charles Key and the others on trying to get to the bottom of what really happened. And he's saying that certainly what they want is for the Justice Department to acknowledge that they had prior knowledge of the attack and did not stop it. Secondly, that, of course, the people responsible would be held responsible. Third, that there'd be restitution to all those 168 people who were killed there. And the government allowed them to be killed. Having foreknowledge did nothing to get them out. Of course, the BATF agents weren't there. There was no, but you know, so their agents, one or two of them, of course, were apparently there in the building. But the majority of them were not there in the building. And we have to ask ourselves why. And I think that perhaps is something that Chris can tell us. Chris, I've heard that the BATF was actually out watching it all night, expecting the attack. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, sir. In fact, we have credible witnesses, both on the local and the state level, law enforcement officers that participated with these individuals. They were given prior warning not to come into the building that day, and they kept the children out of the daycare center. And the big question is, why weren't the other people, the occupants of the building, not given that prior warning?
No, it's sort of like with 911. They warned the people in the Defense Department. They warned Mayor Willie Brown. But I suppose some people's lives are more important than others. Some children's lives are more important than other children's lives.
It appears to be that's exactly what happened. And in order to cover their tails, they, like I said, they lied about it in a lot of different ways.
Now, these people, of course, are afraid to come forward, aren't they? I mean, they may tell you, but they're not going to come forward unless there was a real investigation. And we're never going to have a real investigation. They'll do just like what they did with 911. They'll hold a phony investigation, take the testimony in private, as they did with 911, and then seal it for 30 years. If there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it?
the Justice Department would be liable for, from what we would venture responsibly figure, hundreds of millions of dollars, basically because of the restitution and their complicity in not sharing this information, the prior knowledge.
But, of course, why isn't anybody punished for this, for complicity in murder?
It's the good old boy network. We see it so much here in Oklahoma, most recently with the state trial of Terry Nichols. He was brought up on 162 counts of murder. And all the way from the Attorney General's office to the District Attorney's office here in Oklahoma County to the judge itself, I have no respect for the judge that presided over that case. At first, I thought he would do a good forthright job, but in the end, he didn't. He completely derailed the case, not allowing pertinent testimony and evidence to be entered into the trial.
Well, now, what should have been entered in that was not entered in?
There were there's solid evidence, very credible evidence, irrefutable evidence, showing that there are other individuals involved, both from the Aryan Nation as well as the Middle Eastern connections.
All right. Now, were the attorneys trying to get the information in and the judges wouldn't allow it? Was that it?
What? In fact, I just pulled off the internet last night. There's an 82-page motion for dismissal by a Nichols defense team that clearly lays out all of the information that had been withheld from them. It was exculpatory evidence during the discovery process that was not allowed to be actually entered into the trial.
And, of course, they don't want the American people to know the truth. So they don't allow it into the trial, and if it is anything that gets in, why, then the press will usually cover it up. So, there's just sort of this double layer, like a double-breasted suit, to keep the people from ever understanding what really happened.
Lead into that, or actually a follow-up, would be, and I know a gentleman that's written about this story for many years with the Oklahoman, the daily paper here, and I have no problem saying his name, Mr. Nolan Clay. He flat out told me in front of the courthouse after I was down there one day, he said, Chris, he says, I'm not going to write about it because it's not going to be in the trial, therefore I don't need to write about it. And I looked at him, and I just couldn't believe those words coming out of his mouth. He had very, very limited focus, very tunnel vision on this case, and refused to go outside of the parameters of what his editors told him to do. And so you're right. It is controlled. There's absolutely no denying that. Anybody that tells you any differently hasn't looked at the facts. And it replicates itself in other cases with 9/11, with the false leads of the Iraqi war. This is a rampant problem with the major media nowadays.
Well, of course, we saw what happened to Chris Webb, who reported on the CIA involvement in drugs, and not only did he lose his job with the San Jose Mercury, he could never get any other job with any newspaper in America. And here's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. And then he ends up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head two times. Now, I wonder how many people out in the audience have ever heard of anybody who committed suicide shooting themselves in the head two times.
No, there's absolutely no credibility to that suicide story on that. I don't buy it at all, and you're right. Mr. Webb did a very good job. We have a lot of respect for his work. One thing that Charles and I are working on, we've been actually working on since last year, was we're putting a film documentary together on this case. There was so much information that needs to be brought out, and we want to do it in a responsible, a very forthright and professional manner, and be as respectful as we can to the victims. But I know that some people are going to contest what we're doing, and so be it. But we are going to do a good job. We are going to tell the truth on this case.
Well, if you tell the truth, it'll be the first time the truth has ever come out, that's for certain. Now, basically, what is your take on this? Certainly, there was a Middle Eastern connection. There was a connection, of course, to Elohim City. There was a connection to the bank robbers. In fact, it seems like they have all sorts of clues, like they're just creating so many clues intentionally to confuse the American people.
I look at it as a multi-layered operation, all the way from the financing to the bagmen to the folks that were in charge of the getaway and so forth. There were at least six perpetrators on the scene of the crime that day, and we have hard evidence that shows that there were at least six others involved. So we're looking at 12, and that's in addition to McVeigh and Nichols.
And, of course, why did Nichols do everything he could to try to give the impression that he was doing this all alone? It was just he and Terry Nichols. It was almost as if he was intentionally trying to draw our attention away from what really happened.
It's the mind control issue. We know that had a lot to do with it. Mr. McVeigh was actually using methamphetamines not long before this case came down. And, in fact, he was recovering quite radically from it at the El Reno prison right after his probable cause hearing. He was coming down from methamphetamine. So one obviously doesn't think straight when they're using that type of hallucinating drugs. And he was protecting his comrades. He was being the quote-unquote good soldier. But we found out that Mr. McVeigh was also a pathological liar. And his story would change pretty much just like the weather. And it was very frustrating for the defense counsel, not only to represent a client in that state of mind, mentally and physically, but they were very much hamstrung by the judge.
Have you ever heard the story that Jennifer told, this was the sister, Tim McVeigh's sister, that Tim had written her a letter and saying, "I am part of a secret special forces team involved in illegal activity, but don't tell anybody"?
I've seen the letter. I'm not sure the veracity of that. There may be some credibility to that. I have not yet had a chance to talk to his sister, who, by the way, has had her name changed, and her look is completely different now. We saw her in McAllister last year at the Nichols trial. And so I don't know as far as the veracity of that. They may be a plant. They may be a diversion. But what we do know is that there were several other people involved with Mr. McVeigh. And it's just absolutely audacious to see the prosecution, both on the state and the federal level, insists that no one, there wasn't anybody else. And we have hard, cold facts proving otherwise.
Why is the government covering for these murderers?
They're going to have to admit their liability and their culpability. Any way we look at it, whether you're part of the planning, the commission, or the cover-up of the crime, you're all equally culpable. And that is very, very obvious. They will have to admit there was a complete breakdown in communication, and it will be politically consequential for anybody that's in office now in the Justice Department or on the higher up. It's a very, very sore black eye mark in the U.S. history, and they don't want to admit to their culpability.
But I would think now that we have a Republican administration in there, we have a new Attorney General who is no way involved in what had gone in the past, that he would want to bring the truth out, if for no other reason than to embarrass the Democrats. Certainly, Democrats never mind embarrassing the Republicans. Why is it that Republicans never want to embarrass the Democrats?
Well, we think that they have dirt on each other, and there really is no difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party. It's like, you know, coffee and cream. Where does one begin and the other end? So there's no difference. It's all one big crime syndicate, and we've seen that firsthand. This is not hypothetical. This isn't conjecture. It's not hearsay. It's fact.
All right.
See how these people work.
What is your take on, or what have you learned? What do you think really happened, and who was really the other people who were involved?
There were a lot of records in the building, and this is something that a colleague of mine, as well as Charles, had asked many times. Say, who stood to gain and who stood to lose? There were criminal records there against Bill Clinton, both from the Whitewater as well as the MENA drug investigation. There were quite a few. The DEA had records in there for federal cases for drug smuggling. Some of the biggest drug operations in Central Mexico and South America were in there. So there were a lot of vested parties with vested interest to make sure that what was ever in that building was destroyed. And it appears, consequentially, that the collateral damage, both human as well as the building, was insignificant to these people. It was nothing to them. And it was a very cruel operation. There were many people involved. A lot of folks had a lot to gain by having that building destroyed, irregardless if there was people in there or not. So it's absolutely mind-boggling when you look at all of the scenarios and what could have happened and what actually did happen.
But then why would Timothy McVeigh want to help get rid of embarrassing government records? That doesn't. There must have been some other.
He was a minor bit player. He really didn't make the decisions on this. And
so you mean somebody? Are you suggesting that somebody in authority who wanted to get those records may have played some part in this?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. We're just trying to figure out who that was.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Our special guest today is Chris Emery. His website is www.okcbombing. That's okcbombing.org. www.okcbombing.org, and he's on the front lines of this battle now, working with Charles Key and our other friends. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
not giving you the full story. Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, and of course he is part of the group that's investigating what's going on down there and trying to get to the bottom of this. How do the people feel who lost loved ones there? Are many of them aware of the fact that this has been another great government cover-up?
Yes, Dr. Stan, especially in the last couple of years, we found that the victims' family members and survivors have seen the travesty and the cover-up, and a lot of the information has been withheld. They had waited patiently for over 4 years for all of the pretrial motions and everything to be done, and then when Terry Nichols was brought on trial, they saw that a lot of that information they expected to be revealed was withheld and not allowed into the testimony. And it was from that point on that they said they, we started getting calls, Charles, myself, and other members of the committee, and saying, what can we do to help you out? And these are folks that completely thought we were crazy years ago. And so it's been a slow, as they say, a sea change, but it's actually working in our favor now. And most recently with Representative Rohrabacher out of California, his interest is peaked in the case, and hopefully he'll be able to call the hearings and the investigations and have us come up and testify.
How about the murder of Jesse Tretado? I think that probably not pronouncing that quite right, but this fellow who was actually killed in a prison down there, and the government has been covering up for his murder.
Jesse's the brother of the attorney that's actually filing for more legal briefs on the case. Kenny Trinity was the one that was slain. That's correct. That was another absolutely horrific cover-up. And the crime scene was disturbed immediately. It was cleaned up. The medical examiner knew right on that it wasn't a suicide. And he was coerced by the powers that be to reverse the decision and the ruling and said that it was actually a suicide. He's now retired and has come back and said and other authorities that it actually was a murder, a homicide, that is still open, needs to be reinvestigated.
And, of course, he was put under tremendous pressure by the government to cover up a murder by federal officials. And, you know, the frightening thing is that nobody is ever held responsible when the government kills somebody.
The FBI was held responsible. Judge Leonard here in Oklahoma City, federal judge, ruled in favor of the Trinity family.
And they, what, gave him $1 million or something?
$1.1 million, but that was appealed to the 10th Circuit Court, ironically the same Denver court that McVeigh and Nichols were tried in. And the appeals court said that the Trinity family was not going to be awarded that money until they could prove a further degree of mental anguish and so forth. And it was a degree of proof that now Jesse Trinity, Kenny's brother, who is an excellent attorney out of Salt Lake City, is going after it with a vengeance, and we're very proud of what he's doing.
But, you know, it's amazing how they've been able to, through the control of the media, to keep that from getting to anybody. I mean, you can find it on the Internet, but the story's been totally blocked out by the New York Times and by the Washington Post and by the Washington Times. And, you know, they control the media, so they control what we hear. They control our access to news. I wonder how many people have heard about the $1 million award to the family for the brutal murder in a federal prison where the murderers are being protected by our government.
That's correct. There are very few people have, and we're trying to get the news out on the Internet. Mr. Trinity, coincidentally, was scheduled to speak at our speakers forum in a VIP dinner that we had here on the 19th and 20th, which actually had a very good turnout, and it was a 10th anniversary activities, and he had to back out at the last minute for some other obligations to take care of at his law firm. But we are in contact with him on a regular basis. And he told, and he would have no problem with quoting him, a few days ago he talked to some of the victim's family members about what they could do to further the cause of the Oklahoma City case. And he says, every way I looked at this thing, I just want to investigate my brother's death, and everything I was doing was coming up direct connections to the Oklahoma City bombing. So he says, I fell into this case by default, but he says, I have no regrets, and he's helping us out as best as he can.
Now, when was his brother murdered by the government?
It was August of 95, approximately 3.5 months after the April bombing.
So they thought that he might have been one of the people associated with the bombing?
That's
Were they
correct.
Trying to eliminate him or what?
Well, we don't know as far as why he was killed specifically, but Kenny had the uncanny resemblance both in the tattoo, the stature, the facial hair, the weight, his build to Mr. Guthrie, who later committed suicide in prison himself at another BOP facility.
He committed suicide, or was he suicided?
We think that it was another homicide case, but Guthrie was a close associate of McVeigh.
And, of course, this is not known by the American people, and Guthrie was a bank robber, wasn't he?
That's correct.
And he was associated with the Aryan Nations, but is it possible he was a government infiltrator into the organization?
Honestly, I don't know. I've never had the chance to look into that depth, and Mr. Trinity, I think, is finding out a lot more about that than we have time to at this point.
We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media?
If you're looking for a comfortable...
This is...
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitol.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, and our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to him, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. For our listener out there who's skeptical, go up in the Internet and look up a Jesse Trentadue. Do you know how to spell that offhand?
Yes, T-R-E-N-T-A-D-U-E.
Trentadue. All right. And of course, it's a fascinating story. How do you cover something up like that? Here in the United States, where we have freedom of the press, why you buy up the press? And then, of course, these stories don't get out. That's why you have to understand five mega corporations dominate our media. Disney, Bertelsmann, Murdoch, Viacom, and Time Warner. And they, those five mega corporations, really determine what you hear, see, and believe. And, you know, eventually they control your reality. So pick up the story from there. Chris?
Oh, yes. Well, as far as the press, we know firsthand that the Daily Oklahoman, which is now the Oklahoman, is a Gaylord press entity, and they did an absolutely abhorrent job of covering this case from day one. And they were controlled by their peers in Washington, and we found that that trickled on down through the state government. Former Governor Frank Keating, and I have no problem with saying this, and we don't use this term very loosely. We're very guarded on where we use it, but Governor Keating lied about what his knowledge of the case. And we know full well that the Attorney General, Drew Edmondson, is doing the same thing. And shockingly, he's still in office. He's still serving as our Attorney General. So the press is very complicit with the government on this case, and they have been on other cases. And the Trinity case is no different. There's one other case of a police officer that was murdered by the name of Terrence Yakey. He was the very first Oklahoma City police officer on the scene of the crime, and the press covered his death as a suicide, and it was clearly, it continues to be an unsolved homicide. So you are correct, Dr. Stan.
All right, well, we've got Jim who's calling in from Salinas. He wants to know about the evidence in the Murrah building. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, I was thinking about General Patton and the evidence of internal explosive charges being put into the pillars.
All right, fine. You're speaking of General Ben Patton, who, of course, was a retired military expert on explosives, and his contention is that there were explosives on the various pillars, that there's no way an external bomb could have done the damage that was done, especially in the pattern. Go ahead. What was your point then, Jim?
And between that and also the Channel 4 Oklahoma City interviews with the people that were told to stay home, I'm surprised that this hasn't gotten more coverage than it has. What's wrong here?
Well, that's a very good question. In fact, General Patton was one of the 14 speakers that participated in our forum. We were very proud to have him come into Oklahoma City this past April 20th. He is doing very well, and he's done an absolutely incredible job with helping us out. Now, here's a gentleman for your listeners not aware of. He worked for the Pentagon for 25 years, 18 years with NATO, specifically designing ordnance to take out hard targets, 2, 3, sometimes 10 times the size of the Murrah building. If he doesn't know what took that building down, nobody does. And your caller is correct. There was ordnance inside the building. And as Dan Rather, the ex-CBS anchor, said, the camera never blinks. The photographs clearly show that there was interior ordnance damage. What the federal prosecution has asked us over the years, and now the state prosecution last year, they've asked us to believe that energy increases over distance from the point source of what was allegedly in the truck. Obviously, we know that's not the case. And the damage in the building clearly shows that there were pillars that came down that should not have come down if that truck was the sole source of the ordnance blast. And pillars that came down should have stood up. So it's absolutely ludicrous. And General Patton did give us the correct information. He's an expert. He knows what he's talking about. But the clincher to that is the defense counsel had interviewed General Patton, fully intending to have him testify in Denver. Philadelphia. Channel 4 was bought out by the New York Times. When that happened, they shut it down, literally the investigation on this case. They just told one by one, the senior staff, the news director, everybody just to walk away from it, and they had to coalesce to the official story. Luckily, we do have a lot of those interviews on tape, as well as feed footage from the law enforcement officers that have come forward. So we are very confident that we have enough to show, in addition to the documentation, the photos, blueprints, a wide variety of archive material, show that what we've been told, the official story, is complete bunk.
And we actually carry that video put out by Jerry Langsbach entitled Cover Up in Oklahoma City, and it's available.
He did a great job on that.
Right, and we will have that available. We'll tell you at the end of the program how to get it. Anything else, Jim?
Yes. Am I right? Was this... Thank you.
Congressman Traficant was holding the hearings?
Yes, he did a remarkable job. I've read his reports.
But, of course, anybody who knows about Traficant knows that he was targeted by the FDA. They planted people in his office. Mm-hmm. They built up a case on him, and they sent him to prison on trumped-up charges.
That's exactly, and he was very instrumental in helping us out early on in this case. He was definitely steered down the wrong way. And he was blackballed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but they planted people. The FBI planted people in his office to build up a case. You know, you're supposed to be looking for crimes, not creating crimes.
That's right. That's right. And that's, like I said, we do have some very good individuals with the FBI that have helped us. There's to this day, there's still very.
Thank you. This is also important, and all sorts of evidence that Terry Nichols was meeting with them, and they were actually helping him learn how to build bombs. Ramzi Yosef was a master bomb builder.
That's right. Nichols and McVeigh were not gainfully employed. They were spending tens of thousands of dollars.
Thank you.
Springfield Road in Moss Landing, please call Crystal at 831-840-1361. That's 831-840-1361. Or Elsie at 831-840-2410. That's 831-840-2410. And ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility.
Investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's
Okay.